Mark chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 14. If you have that, say amen. Amen. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" meaning the disciples. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Now this story also appears in Matthew chapter 17. And in that you'll find that the dad referred to his son as oft times falling in the fire. So you can imagine the pain that this father is going through. And then in verse 19, Jesus, he answering him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And here's an important four words: "Bring him unto me." You couldn't do anything with him, but bring him to me. Let's see what I can do. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. This is the demon inside him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he, meaning Jesus, asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And here's our text, and here's what's been troubling me for many weeks. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that, the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he was come when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I have quoted this verse more in the last 2 weeks than I have my entire life. And I say that not for pity or not for sorrow. I say that because that was the only thing I knew really what to say. I couldn't grasp what God was doing. And it's not like I was trying to figure God out. There's no sense of us trying to do that, right? I mean, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But I was trying to just understand. I questioned why, and I think that's okay. I wasn't questioning in doubt, I was questioning for understanding. And Sandy already mentioned it tonight about, you know, all these people that we love so dearly and we're hurting for others. I had no problem believing where these people have went. No problem believing that. I told you Sunday, 7 preachers that I held so close and so dear to my heart, mentors in my life and heroes spiritually, God decided to take them home just in the last 2 months. And I have dear friends that another dear friend of mine, Brother Jim Benner, is at home with hospice. Been such a great inspiration in my life. And I heard of another preacher that just growing up was such a big influence. His name was Vernon Conley. Many of you know Vernon. They have him with in-home hospice now as well. And so you hear about all these things, and I'm just trying to grasp And the next phone call, our people, I'm going to invest in bubble wrap for our church. I have never seen so many people fall and break things in the last 3 or 4 weeks than they have here at this church. Seems like every prayer chain call we get, pray for this one, they've fallen and broken something. And my wife says, we need to get bubble wrap for these people. But you, I say that in jest, but you know, you, the next call, everything's happening. And the last week or so after Paul Hagen passed away, I quoted this to myself. And I said, Lord, I believe. I know where they're at. I have no problem believing where they're at. They left a testimony. One preacher, 102 years old, preached since the age of 16. Had to shuck corn to get money to go to the next revival. Those are people that you can't replace. Those are people that you can't fill their shoes. You just hope that someone will take up that mantle and go on with it. So I'm trying to understand, Lord, I believe, I know where they're at. And so then this brought the question. I started looking into this scripture and I started diving into it, asking the Lord for understanding and asking the Lord for help. And so I asked myself this question, can faith and doubt coexist in a child of God? Can you have faith but also have doubt? It seems to be that's what this man was facing, right? That's what it seems to be on the surface, that he had faith. But somewhere in the back of his mind, there was some doubt. See, because I've always been taught, I guess, growing up, that unless you believe, things won't happen. So I translate that to faith. Well, if I have faith, but I have doubt, does that mean God will answer my prayer? And obviously we know God answered this, not only this dad's prayer, but he showed what he could do to all those skeptics that were around him. So we know he answered the prayer. So let me ask the question again. Did this father have faith and doubt at the same time? Can faith and doubt coexist in a child of God? Well, can I tell you this? Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Now, you might disagree with me, but hear me out. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Certainty is the opposite of faith. Because when your mind's already made up and you say, my mind can't be changed, there's no room for you to have faith. But if there's doubt, then God gives you room to increase your faith. He's given every one of us, the Bible says, a measure of faith. I have no problem believing God for you. I have no problem praying the prayer of faith for some of your needs. I have no problem believing with you, but sometimes when it hits home, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I believe that you can take care of Alex, but we just don't know, Lord. And so, can faith and doubt reside in the same heart of a child of God? So I got to thinking a little bit more. And what God showed me is this passage of scripture, this text that I read to you, is not about faith. It's about belief. Now you say, well, Brian, isn't that the same thing? Nope. Because you can believe, but not have faith. You can believe and have the power of positive thinking that everything's going to turn out okay, but you still don't have faith. I believe, even though in the Greek, the word in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word faith and believe are the same, I believe they carry different implications. And here's how I see it. Faith, I know who God is. Believing says, I wonder what God will do for me. Faith trusts in the nature of God. Belief trusts in the expectation of what God will do. Faith says God is real. But belief says this same real God will act on my behalf. Faith says that God is sovereign, But believing says he'll work all things for good. Faith says that God is caring, loving, and good. But belief says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, with faith, we believe that God can do all things but fail. But believing suggests that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. What this means is faith is the character of God, but believing is wondering what God will do. I have no problem believing on who God is. Do you have a problem believing who God is? He is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. I have no problem believing that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Where I struggle and where I have problems is, will he do it for me? And none of you can walk out of here and say, I've never felt that way. You've been just like this, Dad. Regardless of the situation, it may not have been with a child, but let me just refrain here and tell you this. It hurts really hard whenever your child's going through something and you can't do anything for them. Only you as parents know and understand what I'm talking about. But there's nothing worse than when a child or a grandchild is going through something and you can't do anything for them. Can you feel the pain that this father is going through? You can read it in the text when it says he cried with tears. His soul is in anguish. His soul wants to believe. And Jesus says, all things are possible to them that believe. And then he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So does this mean that he had doubt and faith in this same heart? In the same sentence, does he express faith and doubt? Is that what that means? That's what I struggled with. And God said, don't look at it that way. Look at it as believing. So I looked at it just on the simple surface of believing. And then I asked myself this question. If he believes, but he has unbelief, what does he not believe? And this is where God showed me. And this is where I'm telling you, this didn't come from no commentary. This came from my knees and came from the throne of heaven. And I don't know if he'll do anything for you, but it sure did something for me. And it gave me comfort. When it comes to times when we don't understand, when it comes to times we struggle with faith and with doubt, he said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Was he saying, Lord, I believe in you, but I still don't believe you can do it for me? Was that what he was saying? No. That's not what he was saying. Here's what he was saying. Lord, I believe in you, but I don't believe in me. You haven't caught on yet, but hold on, you will. Lord, I believe you can do all things, but I don't believe that I can do all things. Lord, I acknowledge I am inadequate when it comes to healing my boy. I acknowledge that I believe in you, but I don't believe that I can do anything about it. So what he was simply saying was, Lord, I believe you can, but I don't believe that I can do it. So you take him. You do with him what you want. I believe you can do it, so I'll give him to you. When it comes to believing, if we're going to see things happen in our lives, if we are struggling with doubt and with faith, we believe in who God is. But when we get things happening in our life, when things start moving in our life, it's when we understand we are nothing. We are inadequate. We can only do so much. But when we give it over to God and we say, Lord, I believe you can. I believe I can. Here it is. You take it. You do it. What you want, I believe. What was he doing? He was taking his hands off of his situation and allowing God to put his hands on it. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight, folks. We struggle with faith. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with believing God can do it for me. When you're going to realize you can't do it by yourself, let go of it and let God do what he wants to do. Amen. And look what happened. Look what happened when he finally understood that God could do it and he couldn't. And I'm going to try to hurry. That was a long introduction, but I'll try to hurry. Number one, I want you to notice, when we finally give it over to God and let him do what he wants to do, number one, I want you to notice what Jesus can do. He rebukes the devil. Oh my. Oh my, you better hang on now. So, what's the Bible? Let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. He said, get to the right chapter here. He brought up, he came up off the mountain. You know, they just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And these people are there. They brought this young man to him. In verse 17, it says he hath a dumb spirit. And when Jesus cried to him in verse 25, he rebuked the foul spirit, it says, saying, thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and went him sore and came out of him. You say, well, Brian, of course, he spoke and it happened and he came out of him. But what you don't understand is, and this is what the Lord showed me, this was a deaf and dumb spirit. It should have been able to hear and it should have been able to speak. But when God touched him, when God spoke to him, and he rebuked him, Jesus will make the devil do what he don't want to do. Hallelujah, glory to God. And when he rebuked the foul spirit, the Bible says the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out. How can he do it? I'll tell you why. Because the voice of God can rebuke any enemy the devil throws at you. Glory to God. Some of y'all ain't shouting right now, but you'll need that this week once you get it. He'll make the devil do things that he didn't want to do. And he came out of him and he rebuked the devil. Folks, I'm telling you what, if you're going to see anything happen in your life, if the enemy's coming down upon you, and that's been one of my pet peeves my entire life, and I get that from my dad. My dad always says, I can't stand when people get up and give the devil credit for beating them up all week. If you're a child of God, of course the devil's going to beat you up all week. He's going to beat you up every day of your life if you're truly living for God. But what we don't understand, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. One voice, one word from God can rebuke the enemy. Aren't you glad tonight? He's got all power. And he'll make the devil do what he don't want to do. Hallelujah. He rebuked the demon. Secondly, he raised the dead. Look at what happened. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says, and he arose. He raised the dead. Let me say that again. He raised the dead. This is concerning salvation, not the spirits, but salvation. When it comes to salvation, if you're going to be saved tonight, you're going to have to get rid of your pride. You're going to have to get rid and think that you can do it under your own power. You can try psychologists. You can try self-help books. You can try words of wisdom from people. You can even try to listen to the Bible. But I'm telling you what, friend, until you realize you can't do it on your own, you are inadequate when it comes to salvation. When you got to realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're going to be saved and raised from the dead of sin, thank God you've got to understand you can't do it. You can't do it. It's only the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from some of our sins. Is that what it said? I must be the NIV, sorry. He said, it cleanses us from all sin. All sin, hallelujah. I'm glad he cleansed me from all sin. Hallelujah. When I came to the altar and realized I couldn't do it, when I realized my works couldn't get it done, when I realized my heritage couldn't get it done, when I realized my lineage and my church couldn't get it done, when I realized my mommy and daddy couldn't get it done, when I realized that I needed Jesus for myself, woo, when I came to him as a five-year-old boy and I said, Lord, save me. Guess what he did? He did it because I didn't have nothing to do with it. Glory to God. Woo! This is good preaching. Amen. He rebuked the demon. He raised the dead. Finally, I want you to notice, he reminded them of their decision. He'll remind you of your decision. You say, where's that at? Verse 28 and 29. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You say, Brian, that don't tell me much. Okay. Let's go back to Matthew 17. Turn there if you have your Bibles up. Matthew 17, I'll give you time because I want to show you this. This is the other account in the New Testament of this same passage, of this same story. It's not as detailed with the son, but it's more detailed with Jesus and the disciples and the conversation they had. Let's start reading in verse 18 of Matthew 17. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Look at this very carefully. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He reminded them of their decision. What was their decision? Not only their decision, but the others around them. Their simple decision was they didn't believe. And he reminded them of that. The reason why this couldn't happen in your hands is because you truly didn't believe. Because if you would have believed, you could have asked for anything. You know what he was saying? He's saying, if you would have just let me do it in the first place, instead of you trying to get your hands on it, this could have been done a lot easier. And number one, you wouldn't have got the credit for it. I would have gotten the credit for it. Now, there's another important part we're missing when it comes to this decision. You have to understand what occurred before this. They're on the Mount of Transfiguration, Russ. Jesus is in his glory. He is in his glory more at this point on the mountain than any time in his ministry other than the fact when he raised from the dead. That's okay. She won't get that far. That's great. I remember when mine was that little and ran around too. See, we're forgetting. We're forgetting Jesus just came down from the mountain, had Peter, had his inner circle there. Elijah and Moses showed up. He came off the mountain. They experienced the glory of God like they never have experienced it before. But notice something. You can't just see the glory if you want power. You have to believe. It wasn't enough, Brandon, that they saw the glory of God. They had to believe in the glory of God. You say, how's that possible? Peter wanted to build three tabernacles. And he just wanted to stay there. This is a good place to be. Let's build three tabernacles. One for you and Elijah and Moses. And let's just have a good old time and stay here. He missed the whole point of what Jesus was trying to teach them. He told him later, if you want to be endued with power, you got to wait on me to do it. What was he trying to teach them? He was trying to teach them that believing is not about you, it's about me. You can't believe in your own power. You can't believe in your own works. You can't believe in your own method. That's why they couldn't cast the demon out, because if they would have, they would have pointed to the disciples and said, look what you did. And anytime you try to steal the glory away from God, my friend, you won't get what you're asking for. So this message, all be scattered. I hope you understood where I'm coming from tonight and the comfort that this gave me. You know what he was saying, Brian? I know you believe where they're at, so don't be sorry, because you believe in me and because you understand that you can't get to heaven without me. Just believe you're going to see him again. And he gave me comfort to understand that my tomorrow isn't in my hands. My tomorrow is in his hands. And even though opportunities will present themselves, and possibilities rather, will present themselves every day. And listen, possibilities, sometimes we look at them as good things, but sometimes what could possibly be this or possibly be that will cause sleepless nights. That's why don't go to bed tonight thinking about the possibilities. Think about the facts. And think about the truth. And believe on Jesus Christ. So my request to you is this simple. Is Lord, family, come and get a song ready. Where is your unbelief? Why? What do you not believe in? Most of the time it's going to come back to our inadequacy. Well, the best thing we could do is just give it to God. And say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I trust you. My faith is in you, but I believe you can do it for me.